ಗೋಪಿ ಜನವಲದ ಗಿರಿವರದಾರಿ ಜಯ ಗೋಪಿ ಜನವಲದ ಗಿರಿವರದಾರಿ ಯಶೋರನಂದನ ವ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಶೋರನಂದನ ವ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಜಮುನ ತೀರವನಚಾರಿ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರ ವನಚಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ
So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, text 10. This chapter is entitled The Opulence of the Absolute. So I'll just read the Sanskrit, the verse and purport. Hopefully have a discussion together on this verse. ತೇಷಂ ಸತತ ಯುಕ್ತಾನಂ ಭಜತಂ ಪ್ರೀತಿ ಪೂರ್ವಕಂ ದದಾಮಿ ಬುಧಿ ಯೋಗಂ ತಂ ಯೇನ ಮಾಂ ಉಪಯಂತಿ ತೇ.
So Krishna speaking. To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In this verse, the word buddhi yogam is very significant. We may remember that in the second chapter, the Lord, instructing Arjuna, said that He had spoken to him of many things and that He would instruct him in the ways of buddhi yoga. Now buddhi yoga is explained. Buddhi yoga itself is action in Krishna consciousness. That is the highest intelligence. Buddhi means intelligence, and yoga means mystic activities or mystic elevation. When one tries to go back home, back to Godhead, and takes fully to Krishna consciousness in devotional service, his action is called buddhi yoga. In other words, buddhi yoga is the process by which one gets out of the entanglement of this material world. The ultimate goal of progress is Krishna. People do not know this. Therefore, the association of devotees and a bona fide spiritual master are important. One should know that the goal is Krishna, and when the goal is assigned, then the path is slowly but progressively traversed, and the ultimate goal is achieved. When a person knows the goal of his life but is addicted to the fruits of activities, he is acting in karma yoga. When he knows that the goal is Krishna but he takes pleasure in mental speculations to understand Krishna, he is acting in jnana yoga. And when he knows the goal and seeks Krishna completely in Krishna consciousness, in devotional service, he is acting in bhakti yoga or buddhi yoga, which is the complete yoga. This complete yoga is the highest perfectional stage of life. A person may have a bona fide spiritual master, may be attached to a spiritual organization, but if he is still not intelligent enough to make progress, then Krishna, from within, gives him instructions so that he may ultimately come to him without difficulty. The qualification is that a person always engage himself in Krishna consciousness and with love and devotion render all kinds of services. He should perform some sort of work for Krishna, and that work should be with love. If a devotee is not intelligent enough to make progress on the path of self-realization but is sincere and devoted to the activities of devotional service, the Lord gives him a chance to make progress and ultimately attain to him.
Om Agyanti Marandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Scha He Krishna Karana Sindo Dino Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanjana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanshakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
So beg for the blessings of the assembled devotees. We can say something for the pleasure of Shri Shri Radhe Shyam, Shri Krishna Balaram, Shri Gaur Nitai. May our words be aligned with Guru Parampara, and may the devotees be benefited by hearing Bhagavad Gita together. And so read this verse again, chapter 10, text 10. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayanti te. To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. This chapter of the Bhagavad Gita is called Vibhuti Yoga. Prabhupada translates it, the opulence of the absolute. And Vibhuti means powers or manifestations or wonders or opulences. So why is that a yoga? How is that a yoga? Yoga means to connect to the Supreme Lord. It's a yoga because the idea is if we come to appreciate the wonders of the Lord within this creation, that will increase our devotion, that will increase our yoga, our connection to the Lord. So one who can appreciate the manifestations in this world of the Lord, devotion will increase and strengthen. And that's the essence of this 10th chapter. That's why Krishna, later in the 10th chapter, he gives so many examples of how he pervades this material world, how his energies are acting. So when we come to know of God's divine manifestations in this world, this will, it says in the 7th verse, yujyate. Just by appreciating that, yujyate, you'll be engaged in avikalpena yogena, in direct, undivided yoga service to the Lord. You know, to appreciate the wonders of the creation is also a kind of God consciousness. Some people may not have a direct relationship with Krishna, the person, but just by being amazed at the creation, that's also a kind of God consciousness. Everything should amaze us, actually. Even though we have explanations for things and scientists give different explanation how things work, but it's still a complete mystery. You know? Just think for a moment. Just stop for a moment and consider that we're on this planet, suspended in space. You know? Just the breath. We're breathing. I'm talking. Somehow you're hearing and you're also understanding the words so quickly. It's all mysterious. It's all a wonder. We're so caught up. The mode of passion means our minds get so caught up just in the moment of what I have to do, my desires, my own life. And we lose that sattvic perspective, which sees a little bit more. So when we can just start to look around and appreciate God's powers in this world, this is one step. This is like the first step to a devotional orientation. So text 7, this is what Krishna directly says. I'll just read this verse. This verse represents the theme of the whole chapter. One who is factually convinced of these opulences and mystic powers of mine engages in unalloyed devotional service. Of this there is no doubt. So that's text 7. The next 4 verses are known as Chatur Shloki, the 4 essential verses of the Bhagavad Gita. And Ramanujacharya says they represent the essence of how to realize God. So verses, 10th chapter, verses 8 through 11, the essence of how to realize God are contained in those verses. And really, just one verse primarily explains how you can realize God, and that's text 9. Text 10, which we read today, and text 11, give Krishna's response to a devotee. But 9 are the activities the devotee does to realize God. So let's look at that verse. Krishna says that my devotees, he's speaking about his devotees, their thoughts dwell in me. So that's the first point. If the thoughts are always on Krishna, dwelling in Krishna, that's the method. That's one of the items here. Their lives are devoted to me. So it's not just our thoughts, we're thinking of Krishna, but we're also acting, we're dedicating our life for Krishna's purpose. And what else is there in text 9? Those devotees are always enlightening and conversing with each other about me. So nice, like we're coming together now, we're just hearing about Krishna. We're enlightening each other about Krishna, conversing about Krishna. So Sangha is essential to realize God. And how are they enlightening and conversing about me? Krishna says, well, first of all, they're constantly doing it, so it's constant. And it's also in a pleasing and blissful way. So text 9, such a powerful... Ramanujacharya says, this is the essence of how to realize God. Your thoughts should dwell on God. Your life should be dedicated. You should associate with devotees, hear about Krishna in a pleasing way, and you should do it always. That's the formula. This one verse has the formula of realizing God. Now text 10, which we read today, is Krishna, what he does for such a devotee. So one who's engaged in that way, this is how Krishna responds, how Krishna reciprocates with that devotee. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam. First of all, he's again saying that the qualification, one who's always absorbed, engaged in my service with love. This is the key point. After this, Krishna's going to say, I destroy the darkness in their heart. I give them knowledge. I guide them in their lives. So that's very attractive for all of us, but this is the condition first. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam pritipurvakam. Prabhupada was giving a lecture in New Vrindavan, and after the class, one devotee asked a question. And he asked Prabhupada, sometimes when we distribute books or we speak to people about Krishna, they say that, well, these books I don't need and all this information I don't need because God is in my heart. God can guide me in the heart. So that's true. That's Krishna saying this in this verse, that he's actually, he can give you direction from within. But Prabhupada became very fierce with this devotee. And he just looked at him and he said, You do not know how to answer? If they say that Krishna is guiding them in the heart, do you know how to answer them? What will you tell them? And this devotee was silent. So Prabhupada said, you're not reading the books, you're not reading Bhagavad Gita, you don't know what Bhagavad Gita says about this? You're saying God is guiding them in the heart? Is that true? Do you not know Bhagavad Gita? And he just kept going. And this devotee was silent. And just to remove some of the comfort, another devotee raised his hand to ask a question, another question. And Prabhupada just went back to the first devotee. He said, you do not know the answer to this? You're not reading Bhagavad Gita? Do you know the verse that gives... Who does Krishna speak to in the heart? Who does Krishna guide in the heart? And he quoted this verse. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam pritipurvakam. He said, this is Krishna. Yes, he can guide you in the heart, but for his devotee, for one who's engaged in his service with love. So... And then somehow the questions went on and Prabhupada again went back to this devotee. Frightening to be that devotee, but I'm sure it never forgot this lesson and this this teaching. This is what it means, that Krishna can guide us from within. But there's a certain attitude that's necessary. Priti Purvakam, an attitude of affection to the Lord. Another time also, Prabhupada was being interviewed by somebody. And this person was curious about this point. And so he said, let me ask you personally, was speaking to Prabhupada, is Krishna telling you exactly what to do in each situation? And Prabhupada said, yes, Krishna tells me. And one devotee jumped in to try to explain to the interviewer a little bit how it works. And he said, what Prabhupada means is that because Krishna has given us all this intelligence, our intelligence. So when we use our intelligence, then that is like Krishna acting through us. And Prabhupada said, no, that is not what I meant. That is not what I meant. I mean Krishna is directly telling me from within what to do. It's not that just I have this God-given intelligence and I work it out, I work things out, and that's Krishna's mercy on me. He's given me that intelligence. No, I have my intelligence. But when the devotee is surrendered to the Lord will directly guide in each situation. Do this, do that. And this interviewer said, "Are you actually hearing Krishna? Yes, he's directly telling me. Do like this, do like that." So again, this is so amazing, right? Imagine being connected in this way. Even just little life decisions, or just throughout your day, the connection to the super soul. Because you're surrendered and you have affection to the Lord, at every moment there's some guidance and you're surrendered to it. The Lord will only guide us when He knows we're surrendered to His will. So a surrendered devotee, the obedience is unconditional and therefore they can be used by the Lord. So the Lord can say, do this, do that. There's no doubt. It will be fulfilled because the devotee is in a state of surrender. So, That's the first part of this verse. And the second, yeah, didadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayanti te. That I, Krishna says, from within, I give the intelligence by which they can come closer and closer to me through all their actions, through all their decisions. They're coming closer and closer to me. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he defines buddhi yoga as, what is this buddhi yoga? Comes up a few times in Bhagavad Gita. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, it means direct revelation from the Paramatma within. That is buddhi yoga. When the Paramatma from within is directly revealing to you, guiding you. It's a constant. Krishna's always trying to guide, but we have so many other voices. We have our own voice, the voices of desires, the voices, the fears within. So many other voices are there within us. And once we work through those and become surrendered to the Lord, then very clearly Krishna's voice, which is always there softly, it becomes more strong and we actually understand how to live, how to act. And it's very merciful also, because so long we don't have that connection, then our access to the Paramatma is through the spiritual master. Spiritual master is a representative, is an expansion of Paramatma in this world. Paramatma means God in the heart, guiding. Spiritual master, because of the connection, they can actually, so we, just by hearing their words, trying to surrender, trying to connect ourselves. This is our path towards this relationship with Paramatma within, the guidance within. So really there are two approaches to knowledge in this world. You know, most of us, we think knowledge means there's some outside information and I need to get it and bring it into myself. Right, think about it, we're born, we start to see our parents, what they say, it comes from the outside in. Then we go to school, and there's a culture that also is on the outside, it comes into us, a certain culture, depending on where we live, how we grow up. Education in our school, it's so much information, knowledge, and we try to take it and bring it in, we try to memorize it, we try to apply it. But notice how everything is from the outside, coming in. There's actually another method, another approach to knowledge, where it comes from within. It comes from within. None of us are trained in this. We don't learn this in school. We just keep getting information into our heads and into our brains. In fact, the word educate, right? Educare means to actually, it's contained in the word of education, what it really means. The word education means to bring forth knowledge from within. So a really good teacher is someone who teaches you, it's like an art. They're giving you information and knowledge, but they're also helping you realize it from within. They're helping you bring it forth from within your own heart. We don't get this at all in life. It's all just coming from the outside. It's coming from the outside. And what does Krishna say in the Gita? That we're born in darkness. So if we're just adding information onto a state of darkness, what does that create? You know, it's like the platform of the conditioned soul is ahankar, false ego. Now we're adding all kinds of information on the false ego. It's not real knowledge. It's just, and what does that do? So suppose you're a very knowledgeable person, but you're not addressing the false ego. The more and more knowledge you get, the more pride you have. But suppose you're not an intellectual person and you can't understand certain things and you have a false ego, then what's the response? Shame for not having that knowledge. You feel shame. These are both false ego responses, either pride or shame. Because pride means that, yes, I have it all. I have the ability to understand these things. And shame is like hurt pride, that I don't know so much. I'm not so intelligent. This person knows more I'm ashamed, I'm embarrassed. So both responses, when you haven't addressed the false ego, both responses are actually painful. They're both not helpful for us. You become proud or you have low self-esteem, but I'm not good enough. I don't know enough like others do. But there's a whole other kind of knowledge where if we learn, if we're trained by the devotees, by the spiritual master, we're also hearing from the outside, right? We're hearing Bhagavad Gita, we're hearing certain instructions. But what's meant to happen is that outside knowledge is meant to stimulate the same truth within myself. It's meant to stimulate it. And that's called realization. So it's inside of us. This idea that God can guide you within the heart, Krishna's teaching it in the Bhagavad Gita. It's also known inside of us that if we trust, if we surrender, then something inside of me can actually help me, can guide me in life. So two kinds of knowledge. There's an inner wisdom, an inner understanding of things, and there's an external information that comes in and shapes me in various ways. And this can happen even in spiritual organizations. Prabhupada mentions in the purport also. You may have a spiritual master, you may be part of a spiritual organization. But still, what's expected is that we're longing for the deeper insight to come within us, even though we know so much from what we hear, what we read. Otherwise, what happens? Then you become proud in your spiritual life. And you have a lot of spiritual knowledge, you can become proud of that as well. Right, there are so many, like in Christianity, they say Bible thumpers. You know, they know the Bible inside and out, all the verses and chapters. There can also be Bhagavad Gita thumpers. You know, whereas they just thump you with the verses and the chapters. They may know so much. They may have so much information. They may memorize so much. And that's good to learn verses but we should also know while learning those verses, there's a part of us that still feels, Krishna, please bless me with the true understanding. I don't really know. I know here, but I want the realization by your mercy. Please shine the light of your mercy into the darkness of my heart. Let me and utilize me in your service. That attitude. Shine your mercy into my dark heart and utilize me in your service. If we keep that attitude, when hearing, when chanting, then Paramatma, it's like an opening for Paramatma to speak and to guide. Otherwise, we're just reacting from what's outside the environment. The environment is just the master, our master, controlling us. You know, like look at the animals. You know, some animals you see, they have a relationship only with material nature. You know, the weather's cold and the animal will take care of itself in some way, try to become warm. Or something's coming to attack the animal and it runs. And because of running, it becomes fast. You know, it's like the environment is creating the animal. The animal can only interact with the immediate environment, material nature. It's a closed circuit with the material energy. We are like that too. Right, from different pressures, from people, from outside influences, pressures, we also respond and react and we're caught in this closed circuit. But the human being has another possibility. The human being can also be in a kind of circuit or a connection with the Lord from above, rather than just here below and I'm being shaped by, you know, just shaped by people and my parents and the media and, you know, different things that are happening to me, events, and everything is an interaction between me and material nature. But there's another possibility. One can start to also interact with the Lord. One can have another kind of relationship. It opens up a whole other kind of life. You know, because there's a big difference in being obedient because of outside pressures, right? And then being obedient because I see the value of it within myself, why I should be obedient. We're trying to teach people Krishna consciousness. Parents may try to teach their children Krishna consciousness. It's one thing if their obedience comes because you're telling me I'll do it. It's a kind of pressure, and you just have to like respond to it. Maybe I'll comply, maybe I'll won't be compliant. But either way, it's an outside pressure that you're responding to. But once we see for ourselves, okay, these instructions are coming to me. Actually, this is the goodness of my parents. I see there's something valuable in what they're saying. I see the value in being obedient. I see the value in taking the Krishna consciousness for myself. And then it's yours. Then you're safe. Then you're safe because from within you're seeing why you're doing these things. So there has to be this inner. And that's Paramatma within, just saying, you know, giving us that conviction. Okay, he gives you a glimpse of the truth. I see it for myself. Now I'll do these things for my own reason. Because I know it's good. I see that it's good. I see it's essential for me. So it's a whole new way of learning. You know, without this training or understanding, we just become like mechanisms of the material energy. I'll read one purport. This is also about the super soul, connection to the super soul. This is from the 6th chapter. I thought it was a very interesting point Prabhupada makes in the purport. But this verse is saying, again, you know, connection to super soul is no simple, easy thing, but we have the relationship to Guru. This starts us off, and he's training us to also connect to God within our hearts. So this verse says, for one who has conquered the mind, the super soul is already reached, for he has attained tranquility. To such a man, happiness and distress, heat and cold, honor and dishonor are all the same. So what does it mean to conquer the mind in this context? This equanimity, objectivity, equanimity. It's not, I'm not in my subjective world of my own passions and desires and thoughts, but a little objective and a little bit equipoised. And in that state, one can be guided by the super soul. So part of the purport I wanted to read. So Prabhupada says, actually every living entity is intended to abide by the dictation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is seated in everyone's heart as Paramatma. This is how it's meant to be. This is what's supposed to be happening, Prabhupada's saying. It's intended that every living entity is guided by Paramatma from within. That's the original idea. But when the mind is misled by the external illusory energy, one becomes entangled in material activities. One has to abide by superior dictation. So the nature of the jiva, tatashta shakti, is that we are situated between two energies, the higher spiritual energy and the lower material energy. And our position is that we have to be subject to one or the other. That's it. So the superior energy could be the material energy if we're absorbed in the material energy. That becomes the dictation. So what I think are my thoughts, my desires, it's actually the material energy getting within me, and I'm claiming it as my own. But it's not really my own. It's gotten inside of me and I claim it. I think it's mine. These are my thoughts. I'm thinking of this, I'm thinking I'm doing this, I want to do this, I want to achieve this in life. If we look very closely, it's because of some external influence. You know, I remember when I was in college and I was reading Prabhupada's books. And I was thinking, okay, so when I graduate now, what am I going to do? I was studying music, classical, piano. So I thought, well, of course, that's my goal now, that I'll... You know, I'm going to add something worked out with probably teaching, you know, piano. But I was starting to reflect, is that really what I want? Is that really... I know it's what my parents want at this point, because I just put some time into college and they, you know, helped out with that. I know it's what my teachers want, because I've just done 4 years of school. But really, honestly, is this what I want for the rest of my life? Is to teach piano. You know? And it was like a discovery that's not my desire. I mean, I was pursuing something I kind of didn't know, and then it's an expectation of others on me, and that kind of got inside of me. There's a pressure. Pressure, now I got to do it. But if I was thinking, if I can ask myself really, 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 what do I want? And this was coming because of reading Prabhupada's books, because it was something deeper was happening, and what do I really want? Now, it was very, I came to a conclusion, it was very abstract, but it set me on the right path. And it was something like, I don't care about the job at all, actually. I want to experience eternal love. That's actually what I want. That's the only thing I can say that I'm convinced of. I don't know about what work I'm going to do. I don't know about, you know, where my life is going practically. But I can say that is something in me that I'm totally and absolutely convinced of. How do you get that? What do you do for that? And why is my life not aligned to that at all right now? So those questions, something, what's inside of you that you can say you're absolutely convinced of, sure, that's not coming from the outside but is yours. If you can discover that, that will help you in Krishna consciousness, because it's going to be something spiritual. If it's coming from the deepest part of you, it's going to be something spiritual. Some people say, I want freedom, I want love, I want justice, I want happiness. These are all spiritual desires. So then you ask yourself, well, is my life, is it trying to achieve that? It's crazy, I want it, but my life is not, it's going in a different direction. So we question that. So in this way, that there is some searching in our hearts that can help us along. Paramatma's there, the voice is very subtle, so long we're covered. But Prabhupada is saying in this purport to chapter 6, text 7, this is how every living being is intended to live. Getting dictation from super soul, not from the material energy. It's only one or the other. So if it's not super soul, it's somehow the three modes of nature that got inside of me, and they're inside of others too who are pressuring me, and I'm just living somebody else's life. I'm being lived rather than truly living. I'm being lived by the material energy. Okay, so then what is our path to this other kind of learning from within? We mentioned, first of all, the connection to people who are connected to Super Soul. I may not be connected, but if I'm around devotees, because Krishna is describing in this verse, 10th chapter, 10th verse, that for my devotee who's worshipping with me in love, I'm guiding them, I'm giving some intelligence. So we can rely on devotees, we can rely on spiritual master. And when we hear from them, and we want to connect to what they're saying, we want to align ourselves with their instructions and teachings, this is a relationship for us with Paramatma, coming through personalities. And there's also things we can do for ourselves. We should see, you know. Say something is happening in my life right now, some decision has to be made. I have to make some decision. So of course we seek again from those who are advanced spiritually. It's nice to seek from them. But also do our own seeking as well. Where we're talking to Paramatma within ourselves. It doesn't actually have to be talking. But it's like waiting for the revelation from within before we act. It's like this very, like a patient expectation that the truth is going to come from within me. I'm looking for it from within. Krishna, I don't know what to do in this situation in life. This can be very practical about, you know, moving somewhere or some decision you have to make, whatever it may be. But looking for the revelation from within, from Paramatma, before we just start acting and I use my own intelligence, I'll figure this out. Right, I'll figure it out, I'll put things together. What about just saying, I have no idea, I'm going to wait and see, until Krishna reveals, shows me clearly, I'm going to wait for that revelation and then act on it. We can do that. We can do that. And the more we do that, the more we're starting to practice connecting to Paramatma. It also can be a practice. Usually, we don't think that way. Even as devotees, we just get busy with figuring it out. Okay, I got a certain intelligence of my own. I'll put two to two together, talk to a few people. But what about that consciousness? Krishna, please shine the light of your mercy into the darkness of my heart and utilize me in your service. You know, how can I show me a way, reveal it so that I can actually serve you in the best way? If that's our intention when we're looking for an answer. That devotional, that service attitude. Bhajatam Prithipurvakam, that's what's meant here. That service attitude can reveal things within us. Right? This is how the devotee prays. You know, there's a nice prayer also. Mukham karoti vacha lam pangam langayate girim. Yat kripa tamaham vande shi gurum dinataranam paramananda madhavam. This devotee is also praying that even a dumb person, even a person who's not qualified to speak, can become a great orator by the mercy of the Lord. Even someone who's lame cannot walk and cross mountains by the mercy of the Lord. Can cross mountains. How is that possible? So it's that seeking of that mercy, of that guidance, knowing that I don't know what to do in this situation, Krishna, please. I'll patiently wait. And you ever have, you know, you're not sure what to do, but then something suddenly becomes clear and it just feels right. And even if the outcome is not what you expected, but you're still happy you did it because it just felt right. That's what it's like to be a little bit guided by Paramatma. So if we have this attitude, I want to do what's right in this situation, I don't know what to do, Krishna, I'm going to patiently wait for you to reveal it to me. Krishna, when I say patiently wait, it may take some time, but it can also be a flash. He can suddenly show you something. The word buddhi, intelligence, so we're talking about buddhi yoga. Buddhi also means like a seeing knowledge, a knowledge that sees something. So we're trying to think things out in our mind constantly, but it's another thing when you suddenly see what's right and you do it. That's also an indication that it's coming from a deeper place, the right action, the right decision. When it's suddenly just seen as true. So it's a kind of prayerful, dependent attitude that we live life with. Looking for that guidance. And also taking advantage of the devotees around us who also are connected to Krishna. Okay, so I think we'll stop here. There's a few minutes left for any thoughts, comments, questions, feedback. Yes, Prabhu. We have Prabhu here. Microphone is right here.
Thanks, Prabhu, for a very nice class. Mm-hmm. Loved it. My question is, we have that constant chatter going on inside us, all of us, I think. Especially, you know, if you do something wrong, if you're going to do something wrong, it says that, oh, this is wrong, don't do that.
Yeah.
And sometimes you override that voice and you do that, but that voice is there. Mm. That inner voice or voice of Paramatma or inside voice. So is that Krishna talking or something, when Krishna will talk, it's going to be something, some other voice. Prabhupada was talking about.
Yeah, it's like that chattering voice is probably not Krishna. Krishna doesn't chatter. That's our minds going wild, right? Chattering, well maybe you should do that. Well, I think, wait, if you do that, then this, we can know that's us, right? But Krishna, he just shows the truth. It's again like this, you suddenly can see something that you couldn't see before. And you know that if you act on it, even if you don't get the outcome you want, it's still the right thing to do. Because, see, we're saying, well, was it Paramatma or was it me? It depends on the outcome. If it turned out good, it must have been Paramatma. It turned out good, not so good, maybe it was me. But actually, it's not even in the result of the action. It's just kind of seeing what's right and what's true and what's good and what's aligned with the Lord. And then we act on it and we can let go of the results. So it's more of the, you know, it's this kind of approach. So usually, you know, of course, like Prabhupada said, the example I gave, Prabhupada was saying, Krishna's telling me, do like this, do like that. And so he's getting a very special revelation of what to do in circumstances. But at least to help a little bit, to understand the difference between the chattering mind, the constant thinking, the confusion, the hesitation, the doubts, the worries, the anxiety, this is me. And these are many voices within me. And then when suddenly, clearly something is shown as true and good, that can be Paramatma, just keep showing us. Do that.
So I was talking especially about the voice which you hear when you do something wrong. It tells you don't do that.
Yeah. So some people, well, there's a conversation with Prabhupada where he explains it like that. We know deep in our heart what is right and what is wrong. That is also could be understood as a Paramatma revelation, the conscience. So in the West we call this having a conscience. My conscience says don't do that. But that can also be from the modes of nature. So some people, you know, conscience can also be an external something that's brought into me from the outside where people say, you know, so it gets a little tricky. But I think if we're sincere, we have a service attitude, and we're actually longing to know what is the right thing in this situation, we quiet down our minds a little bit and seek that in the heart, then we can also know, actually, this is best. So it's hard to give a complete definite answer to that, but just some reflections on your question, really.
Thank you very much, Prabhu. Thank you for your class.
You will.
So I have two questions now. The first one is how to wait for that revelation. You said you should wait for the revelation. How do we wait for the revelation that, okay, Krishna is going to guide me?
Yeah.
And the second one is how do we see Krishna as a doer in everything, like all the circumstances?
Mm. Okay, how to wait. That's the whole key. Even for our spiritual advancement, we all have to wait to get, you know, advanced, right? To get realizations, to get love of God, we have to wait. But the question is, how are we waiting? If I'm waiting impatiently, if I'm waiting but I'm frustrated, then we're going to be waiting longer. Rupa Goswami gives a nice attitude. He said we should have enthusiasm, confidence, and patience. He uses it in a little bit of a different context, but it still works for this example. If I'm waiting, I stay enthusiastic. I'm not just depleted. I'm waiting so long, Krishna, nothing's happening. Forget it. I'm going to be a little lazy. I'm going to lose my enthusiasm because I've waited so long. Or I'm waiting, but I'm impatient. Or I'm waiting, but I have no confidence that anything's ever going to happen. So, but if we can wait, we stay enthusiastic, we're patient. Patient means eternally patient. There's no, after 10 years, there's eternally, however long it takes, I'm going to wait, Krishna, for your mercy. I'll never let you go until you bless me with your mercy. That's the attitude of a devotee. Until you bless me with your mercy, I'll never let go. I'll never lose enthusiasm. I'll never lose confidence in you. Even if you're not revealing, suddenly the mercy's gone and I'm dry. I still have confidence that Krishna, at his own time, this is what surrender means. Patience, confidence, enthusiasm, and wait. With all those, with those three things not deteriorating. So this is how, you know, how we can wait.
Yeah, the second question was, how do we see Krishna as the doer in everything? Like, He is in charge in all the circumstances.
Hmm. How do we see Krishna, that Krishna is doing everything? To do anything is by mercy of Krishna. You know, I can say I lift my arm up, I'm doing. The power is from Krishna. I have no, you know, I'm in a state where my soul is practically asleep. So the ability, as Krishna says in Gita, he's the ability in man. In order to breathe, do I know how to breathe or am I just breathing? I'm just breathing. I'm just walking. I don't know how I'm talking right now. I don't know how my mind works. I don't know how my body works. You know, we're dependent on the sun. We're dependent on the air. Who's this coming from? You know, Krishna is actually in control of everything. We're just like a little speck who's just kind of bewildered in this whole creation. You know, just looking around confused. But there is something special in that little speck, just a change of heart, a change of direction. You know, just a little slight freedom to return to Krishna. And even that, do I awaken that myself, or is that coming through the mercy of the devotees? Everything's coming through Krishna ultimately. So when you go back to really see how Krishna's the cause of everything, you have to start to, if you're a jnani type, you say, okay, this just happened, what caused that? Okay, what caused that? What caused that? What caused that? You go further and further back and then you come to God. And so a jnani will kind of approach that question in that way by seeing the cause of all causes is Krishna. And so anyway, just some thoughts on that. I don't know if anybody else would like to respond or share something. Or
Hare Krishna. Prabhu, I have a
yes.
question.
Hare
Wonderful class. Thank you so much. I need you to go back to when Prabhupada was really going after the devotee, because he said, preach, people say, well, God is in my heart. I don't need to read. But it wasn't clear to me what Prabhupada, what we should say then.
So Prabhupada was telling this devotee, until you follow the first part of this verse, which is Tesham Satata Yuktanam Bhajatam Priti Purvakam, until God reveals in the heart to his devotee who is worshipping him with love. So if someone on the street says, well, I don't need your books, I don't need the spiritual master, God is within the heart. Yes, that's true. If you're completely devoted to God, if you love God, if you're always looking to serve God with love, then God from within can guide. So he was basically telling this devotee the what he should share, the way he can share this with others who say, God is in my heart. Our question could be, God is in the heart of all, but to actually hear and be guided by him requires something of us, that we become loving devotees of God. And for that we need Sangha, for that we need the spiritual master, for that we need so many things. So this is what Prabhupada, this is what he meant. Hare Bo.
Hare Bo.
Hare Krishna.
When I walked in, you were just talking about how we have to have confidence in Krishna, that he's going to save us, take care of us. Yeah. So how do we build more of that confidence? I know as you go through hard times, and Krishna saves you, you develop a little more and a little more. But is there any magic bullet? Is there any magic tonic? Yeah. Any ideas? Like, how do you develop that so you're not terrified of death, so you're not afraid of this, so you're not afraid of that in the material world? You're going broke. Oh, well.
Yeah.
You know, go out and distribute a few books. I don't know what to tell you. You know, so how do we build that? Or is Krishna just doing that for us anyway through the course of our lives?
Yeah, that's a great question. How to develop this confidence that Krishna will save us, will protect us, and will, that everything is actually working for our good. You know, that confidence, that trust. So one of the most effective ways to have that confidence is to be around those who have that confidence. You know, so we see examples of devotees who have gone through so much, but we see no wavering. We see a complete sold out soul to the Lord. To associate with those people, to seek their guidance, to ask them questions, to spend time with them, to see that through so many things they're still very firm. That gives us, first of all, faith. Wow, they've gone through more than me. How is it that they have some? How is it that they're in touch with something that I'm not? Maybe I'm losing confidence. But here's an example of a person gaining confidence through all these things that they've been through. So that example is, first of all, very powerful. Because the association with devotees, something is also transmitted. Some mercy is transmitted. We get something from them, almost energetically. It's not just like, you know, learn something and hear them and hang out with them, but an advanced devotee, something can come into your heart that they have when they're pleased with you. And suddenly you'll find yourself with a confidence even in the face of great difficulties or fears come up. But there's also a part of me, deep inside of me, that trusts Krishna. You know, if you go to the deepest part of yourself, what do you find? There are many crazy things happening, I know, in my mind. But if I can go to the deepest part of myself, I find that there is something that feels safe. That there is some peace. Maybe I'm not always connected to it, but there is some peace, some conviction that God is there. And God is good. God is benevolent. So that truth is also inside of us. You know, you quiet the noise, sit down, chant japa, and just try to connect to the deepest part of yourself. If you can find within yourself that actually in the deepest level, I'm safe, I'm protected by the Lord, I'm eternal, I'm a devotee of God. If you get that conviction within yourself, then you can withstand anything in life that comes. Well, we get it sometimes and we lose it. We get it sometimes and we lose it. But become determined to get it more by when you sit down to chant, connect to it. Don't let all the surface thoughts go wild. We're identified with all the surface thoughts. We'll never get there to the deeper part of ourselves. But it's there waiting. Paramatma is there waiting to say, just like, you know, how the Bhagavad Gita ends. You know, Krishna saying, surrender unto me, Arjuna, I will protect you. Do not fear this. I'll protect you. That's the conclusion of the Gita. And the devotee who surrenders feels it. So devotees, surrender again and again in small situations. And we'll start to get the conviction that Krishna's there again and again and again. Finally, one day that conviction will become absolute and not relative. It's relative means it wavers. Sometimes I believe it, sometimes I don't. But when it's truly awakened in the soul, it's absolute no matter what happens. God is there. I trust that always. Yes. I don't want to go too far over. I see some more hands. Do we have time or should I stop? Yes, Mataji.
Yes, thank you for a wonderful class. And, you know, so relevant. And my point was similar to Mataji, you know, how to hold on to that conviction. Yeah. You know, sometimes we get it. We get some light and we can hear Krishna and then it goes, you know. Now, I remembered a part of a verse in the Bhagavad Gita. It says, one who acts through false ego, not hearing me, he will be lost.
Nice,
And so, you know, I was thinking, well, all of our conditioning makes us identify with material nature and hang on and have faith in that. But you sort of answered my question that over time, we get a bit more conviction, and at some point, it will be full. Yeah, so that makes
it's a gift, you know. It's a gift. So there's nothing we can truly do. We can't make myself convinced of anything. I can't make myself just be convinced that Krishna's God, and that He's always there and He loves me. But I can't make myself believe that. But along the path of purification, and when we're begging for that. And there's something in us that knows that that's true, but I'm disconnected, and we just beg for Krishna to give me the gift of the realization. So again, the perfect time for these kind of thoughts and this kind of attitude is when you chant. Here you are, you got nothing else to do. You're not busy, active with people and doing things. It's just you and the name and a prayer from your heart. Krishna, please guide me. Please engage me in your service. Please give me the absolute conviction that you are always there for me. It comes as a gift when we beg for it. And some devotees have begged for it and received that gift. We want to be around them as well.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. I think we should stop. I don't...
One more.
Yeah, one more. I'm fine with it. I just don't want to hold everybody hostage here.
I got something for you.
Hello.
I do know that if you chant long enough and chant sincerely enough, you will see Krishna. No matter who you are.
Jai.
Guaranteed. I promise you. you will see miracles in your life happening. Mm. And then, we were talking earlier about how to connect the dots will connect themselves. Because when you start chanting, and if you chant and something happens immediately after you chant, the dots will connect themselves. Mm. Just keep chanting.
Thank you, Prabhu. Chant sincerely. It will. You will see Krishna. I love that. Yes.
My comment was, in the scriptures, it tells us that man thinks himself the doer of activities, which are in actuality being carried out by the three modes of material nature. And this material nature is acting constantly under the Supreme Personality of Godhead at every moment.
Yes. Yes, thank you. So, the three modes of material nature, we're like surrendered to them, and they're doing everything. We think ourselves the doer, but it's the modes acting. But once we see to what extent we're actually entrapped by the modes of nature, once we see to what extent we're controlled by the material energy, then we'll start to have a longing for something else. Then we'll start to have a longing that Krishna takes over my life rather than the modes of nature. And that's when everything begins. That's when something totally new can come into your life. But we have to see the depth of our entrapment in Maya. So that's all we can do. Just see how covered, how entrapped you are, and what's going to come from you. Automatically what's going to come from you is a longing for freedom, is a longing for Krishna. That longing is already there. Most people just don't even know it's happening, and they think they're the doers, the thinkers, the actors, the enjoyers. It's illusion. Okay, thank you so much. Srila Prabhupada ki.